Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The R&B Tour starring Usher Raymond and Chris Brown is coming to Northwest Stadium on July 10th and 11th. Tickets are on sale now, a Live Nation show. Keep listening to 105.7 The Fan for your chance to win tickets, courtesy of Live Nation.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Orioles' defensive inconsistency was on full display in yesterday's doubleheader, to the point where Craig Albernaz said his team took themselves out of the fight in Game 2 because of all the gaffes. The concerns and red flags have been there since spring training got underway, and there's no missing piece that'll come in and magically change everything overnight. Here's Craig Albernaz being asked about that shaky defensive effort in the blowout loss.
No, it's constant conversations. Yeah, the guys acknowledge it. Guys are working every day, and that's something that we're going to continue to get better at.
Even with the ugly finish, the O's still managed to win the series against the Astros and will now head off to the Bronx for a four-game set with the Yankees that starts later tonight at 7:05. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, partly cloudy with highs in the mid-60s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Ripping It with Ryan, sponsored by Dubo Law. Real people, real results. For a free consultation, call 410-ASK-DUBO. Here's Bob Haney and Ryan Ripkin.
Yeah, to me, it's just consistency. I think anyone that watched the first game, I would say our defense was pretty good, if not really good. The second game was just ugly. Like, that's unacceptable. It was a doubleheader. It's tough to win one game in the big leagues, never mind two on the same day, but we didn't give ourselves a chance to win this game.
And when you bust out an unacceptable, that speaks volumes. We're ripping it with Ryan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripkin, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Featured Artist Friday. It's ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. Game one of the doubleheader. Orioles break out the whipping sticks after getting no hit through the first three-plus innings. And then two grand slams, Jackson and Adley Rutschman, of course. Then in the second game with Brandon Young, who had pitched really well for them.
Yep.
You know, filling a need, was the Eplin out for the year. And the defense, Ryan, didn't do him any favors. It's not like he was overly sharp on the mound, because he didn't miss a lot of bats, but when the ball was put in play, whether it was outfield defense, misplaying balls, or just, you know, not fielding and bad throws from third to second, whatever the case was, it was almost bad news Bears-like. So we've discussed this all season long, why they're so scattershot. Because I don't want to say inconsistent, because it's almost to the point where, duh, we've been saying it 1,000 times. But why are they so shaky defensively here? And is there any hope that it gets much better given the personnel that's on the field right now for them?
Well, happy Friday, Bob.
Yes.
So always great to see you.
Keeping it positive.
And Nolan. Maybe I'll get a smile out of Nolan later on in this program. But
205.
Yeah, maybe 205. But I know there's not a lot of smiling going around with the Orioles defense. Obviously, I'll be making those comments. He's not happy about it. And I mean, no one on the team is happy about it, but your question is, why does this keep happening? You know, why isn't this getting better, and why aren't we consistently seeing the improvements? You know, I think part of it is when you lose your everyday guys, having, let's just go, Jordan and Jackson, Jordan Westbrook, Jackson Holiday, that does shake some things up. That's one thing, right? And that's not to say that Jeremiah Jackson hasn't made some tremendous plays, and Blaze Alexander has gone out there in the infield and looked very comfortable. But it's a rotation everywhere else, if you think about it. You know, Taylor Ward is the only outfielder that is playing every single day. The rest it's a little bit of a merry-go-round. And then in the infield, you still have changed around some positions. But that's one thing. It's not an excuse. I want to point that out. It's not an excuse for it. And that's what Albie's saying. Like, it is unacceptable because a phrase that I've used a lot this year, and I probably am just going to continue to use it. I hope I don't have to, but I want people to understand in baseball, there are errors that happen in games that don't go down in the box score. And I think yesterday with Brandon Young on the mound, it's a perfect example. He didn't have his stuff. I'm not going to sugarcoat that and say he was having a great pitching performance. He was battling and having some struggles, but the defense did not help him. And when you put him in that position with a pitcher that's really struggling, games can get away from you. And that's what happened in game two. Brandon Young struggled. Defense did not help him. And it snowballed and the Orioles dropped game two of the doubleheader, win the series. But overall, Bob, here's the positive twist on this. I don't think the Orioles have played particularly well all year. And yet they are one game under 500 because they have still battled and scratched and clawed when they've been at their worst. So there's something to be said for that. But you're going to lose more games. That's why Albie's mad. You can lose some really important games if you cannot clean this up.
We asked Mike Bordick about this yesterday on the show, Oriole Hall of Famer, a colleague, BBT, of course. Coby Mayo in particular. Why, Ryan, and you played first base, so you saved guys from errors. Why does he have a disconnect throwing from third to first? Arm strength is not right. It's not an arm strength issue with him.
Yep.
Right? Why? I mean, it's they're worm burners all the time.
I'm wondering, do I stand up in here and try to do this for everyone that's watching?
We're on television.
We're on YouTube. So essentially, right, when you're in the situation and you got to make a fielding, I'm going to move this up here a second. Hey, now. come on. So when you're in your throwing, it's you know, whatever. So when you are in your throwing motion, you got to go to your routine. Everyone has your routine to throw. So if it's gather, bring the ball to your chest, and as you're moving and you're getting to that arm slot that you want, when that's flowing correctly, everything comes out and it's fine. When it doesn't, is if the gather and the footwork is a little bit off, or the internal clock of when I have to throw this. So if you're gathering, but you don't feel right and you hesitate on the throw, it gets you in trouble. Or for me, I had a really tough, if people saw me throw, my coaches said, hey, you can't throw it from all the way up here, Ryan. You got to get comfortable in different angles. You sometimes can have a feeling you got to do too much. So for Coby Mayo, it's a combination in my mind, is that he's having this, can't find the chair now. He's having this feeling of, in my mind, the rhythm of when he's catching it to then, is it in sync when he's getting his arm ready to throw? And then on top of it, is he trying to do too much and he's overthinking the process? It has nothing to do with arm strength. You're exactly right. I would say in a similar case, but not nearly as bad, is Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar's had throwing errors, and it's not because Gunnar doesn't have a strong arm. It's when Gunnar gets a little bit out of sync. And he will airmail it. I still remember the error that he had. There was the home run that Dean Kramer gave up against the D-backs then, because it ended up extending the inning. Sailed up the line. And for that, it was Gunnar, his rhythm. And when he went to throw, the arm dropped, and then he kind of flicked it over there, and it took off. So it's all of those are correctable. It's definitely more of this in sync. All right, let me be in a rhythm. And then the other part for Coby, which I hate for him, every time something doesn't happen, people talk about it. So then you're overthinking this. What happened earlier on when he was making plays? It's just reacting. And I feel like if he's able to get back to that form, he can make every play. But that seems to be his issue right now with throwing the baseball.
Because he had to play a couple games ago where the bare hands, it throws to first, throws a strike to Alonso. Is he in yip territory? Does he have the yips when he's, you know, he's not in the Mackie Sassery just constantly tapping it, but why, you know, it's easier said than done. Just catch it, throw it. You're playing catch at that stage, right?
It's you're overthinking, and then when you overthink, you're throwing the rest of your body off. It is. I remember, I'll express or explain my situation. So I only played first base. I'm not that I have to have all these big throws, but I'd have to throw the ball to second sometimes to turn two. And when I would go to field it, and I had a tendency to climb and raise my arm, instead of maybe having a slot here, I felt like I had to raise it. And I felt like if I got it to that spot, it felt comfortable. But when people said, hey, it's not going to work, or you're putting yourself in a tough position, they were right. It wasn't going to help me long term. But then what happened every time I fielded the ball? Am I getting to the right spot? Am I doing too much? And then you feel like this stuck sensation. That's why when you just mentioned the barehanded play, and I'd even, again, I'll go back to Gunner, because this is why Gunner plays shortstop. Gunner can make every play on the field. And I'd argue sometimes he makes the hardest plays, the impossible plays, look more comfortable than the routine. Why? You don't think. That's why Kobe Mayo is making the bare hand. You don't have time to process. How much time do I have? Where am I throwing this? It is, all right, it's do or die. It's a roller. If I don't make this play, it's a base hit anyway. So your natural instincts just take over. And I think for Kobe and for any player, you just got to trust yourself a little bit more. He's working so hard. He's very cognizant. But when you think a little bit too much, it can get you in a bad spot, but I'm not going to yip territory. I think he just, I don't think he's there. It's just reset yourself. But it is more of a mental thing than it is anything with his physical skills.
Of course, before we get to the break real quick, offensively, it looks like he's,
yeah.
I mean, it's sack fly. I mean, the Orioles are getting drugged. But, you know, the exit velo is starting to become a thing up at his bat right now. He's mashing a little
bit. I am not worried about Kobe's bat. Not at all. And don't. I know we could say, well, Ryan, he's hitting 169. I don't care about the batting average. The eye test to me. Can he hit in the big leagues? I think he can. Was he pressing a little bit earlier on? Yes. But when he got rolling, and I would have loved to see him in that finale on Sunday, because then what happens? You don't play Sunday. You have the game, then you have a rain out. Now this time is gone by where you get out of sync. He is a big league hitter. In my mind, he is a big league hitter with big potential. It's just let the guy continue to develop here. The problem is, just like with this outfield situation, which hurts the defense, it goes back to this. When you have a rotation of guys that's trying to get in rhythm, but you have so many mouths to feed, that's where we've seen some more problems, at least in my opinion, especially on the defensive end.
Ripping it with Ryan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. We'll talk to him when we come back. Mike Axisa, CBSSports.com. Talk about the first month plus of the Major League Baseball season. American League East report coming up. Randy Miller, he's fun to talk to. He's with New Jersey Advanced Media. Talk about the first place New York Yankees. We asked Rich Dubroff last hour to describe the Orioles through their first month plus in one word. He said mediocre. What's your word, everybody? We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ripping it with Ryan on the Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Ripping it with Ryan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Talk to him here in a minute. Orioles in New York taking on the Yankees. Start of a four-game set, 7:05 BBT, coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. Brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. We think, I don't think it's official yet, but we think it's going to be Cade Povich on the mound for the Orioles.
Seems that way.
Against Will Warren, who's off to a nice start.
Another Yankees pitcher that no one's really talking about because they have other Yankees pitchers that are right. Just dealing.
Yeah, he throws, what, high 90s? He's 3-0.
Good off speed.
Sub 3 earned run average, yeah. You know that they're third in Major League Baseball on stolen bases? I did not know that. Or fifth. Oh, excuse me. Let me just double check my facts here. They are fourth. They have 32 steals. on the air. Nolan, you brought this up now that Ryan's here, not to get off topic because I want to ask everybody to explain the Orioles, describe him in one word, and you can't say inconsistent because that's all we've been saying. But Nolan, Ryan, brought up the fact that the Orioles are not exactly lighting up stolen base-wise. Gunnar leads the team with 5 of the 15 that they have. But here are the Yankees who lead the majors in homers. They're 5th in the OPS, 4th in stolen bases, you know, top 10 in runs scored. So, Nolan, explain to Ryan and new listeners, because, you know, we get millions of people tuning in at each segment here on 105.7 The Fan.
Billions.
Yeah. Right. What your problemo is with the Orioles' lack of base-stealing acumen
here. Not my problem. It's their problem. Correct. For sure. Yeah, I mean, long and short of it, you're on pace for 78, something like that, high 70s. I shouldn't have deleted my stats in front of me. Rookie mistake. But yeah, they ranked 25th in Major League Baseball through the early portion of this season. We were actually surprised to learn that last year was the most stolen bases they've had at any point in the last 3 years. 121, which was kind of shocking given how nobody was consistently in the lineup last year. It was just a lot of moving pieces, a lot of injuries. But even still, those last 3 years, when they kept saying every year, well, we're going to steal a lot more bases, they never really finished any better than 13th to 15th, somewhere in that middle of the pack range. So you thought, okay, this year, what can they do? Can they take a step forward? New coaching staff. Albernaz comes from an organization that emphasized small ball, or at least, at the very least, finding any way to win. But yeah, through the early season, the results just haven't been there.
I mean, they haven't. And honestly, in another sense, it's not stolen bases, but they've had some, they probably be near the top of Major League Baseball and being picked off. I don't know how many times, but do we have that stat for the host of Baltimore Baseball tonight?
No.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, that's why you're not doing it with me tonight. That's why me and Tim Barbalace are...
Well, maybe Lana won't have that stat.
Well, we'll work on that. But, you know, obviously the Orioles have had trouble on the base paths. I mean, stolen bases are great. Base running blunders, in general, they can hurt your team. So while stealing a base enhances it, base running mistakes or your base running prowess can help then elevate your game. The Yankees, as much as people in Baltimore want to just absolutely get on the Yankees and say how bad they are, how much they hate them. You can hate them, but you can't say how bad, because they actually are doing a lot more little things right than they have in previous years. With your ball club, your goal each and every year is what's your strength? What can guys do? Who's comfortable with doing this? And for the Yankees, so much focus was on that, they can have guys that hit the ball at the ballpark, and they're going to strike out a lot too. But I think that the evolution for them of being aggressive but knowing how to be aggressive, Bob, has really helped them. A team that's done it so much in the AL East, you don't have to go much further. They've been doing it for a while, but the Tampa Bay Rays, they like to do it. Out of curiosity, Bob, do you have the list of stolen bases for the rest of the league?
I do. Real quick, the Orioles, 15 steals, 8 caught stealings.
Is that the most in baseball?
The most in baseball is the Brujas have been caught, along with the Rockies, 12 times. But Milwaukee has 36 steals, which is tied for the most with Miami. And the Rockies have 28. So they've been running more. But the Orioles, so that's, let's see, they have more 50%, you know what I'm saying? It's a 15 versus 8. That's a bad percentage.
It's below. So for every.
Well, made me do math.
Yeah. It's you're getting thrown out quite a bit for that ratio so far, is what we're getting at here. So
Tampa is third. They have 34.
And that's exactly my point right there. Tampa, and talking with other people around the league and in the baseball world, you know, Buck Showalter and I were talking about it this week. It was, you got to realize what you do really well and focus on that. And actually, I thought of another guy. The Orioles just played the Astros. Christian Walker, former Oriole, then went on to play for the Diamondbacks and signed the big contract with the Astros. This is a hitting quote that I have, but when you listen to it, you might not be able to tell what I'm talking about. He said, you got to remember what you are good at. What is your strength as a player? And he was talking about him swinging the bat. But what did the Rays do? Chandler Simpson down there and Taylor Walls and other guys that can run for them? hey, your strength is stealing bases. Go make that happen. And if you do that, it adds another element to how we can play the game. So I'm with you guys. I think it's very interesting. It's I love it. It's a game. If we're not having hit and run, being able to run effectively, Bob, it is a secret weapon. It's a superpower for teams if you can do it right.
Yeah, and looking at the numbers where we hit the break, bring Mike Exesa in. There are a lot of teams with more successful stolen bases than the Orioles have stolen base attempts on the season. When we come back, Mike Exesa, CBSSports.com, American League outside of the top two teams in the American League East, very mediocre. Two managers already have been relieved of their duties, and a couple of more are on the hot seat. Stick around for that. We'll get back to that one word you would use to describe the Orioles, and you can't use inconsistent, because that's the most logical one at this time. Going to have Dabo Sweeney. Was one with our Ryan Ripken yesterday, so we're going to have some of that, talking about the, you know, the Ravens connection with Clemson. Steve Bisciotti getting involved in the draft process, have the American League East report, and then Randy Miller talk about the Yankees, why they've been so successful. They did lose Stanton, however, to another injury.
The teams you grew up with,
Ravens are world champions,
are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan. What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Orioles were riding high after dominating the Astros 10-3 in Game 1 of yesterday's series finale, but couldn't carry that over into Game 2 as Houston instantly got their revenge with a blowout of their own. They tagged Brandon Young for 5 runs in the first inning and extended that lead to 10-0 by the end of the fourth. Craig Albernaz left his rookie starter out there to eat as many outs as possible given the lack of off days for his bullpen on the horizon. Here's what Young had to say about the rough outing.
I mean, not having the fastball command out to start, not getting some chase in the splitter out the gate, and I think that comes from the forcing command. I think after that, just falling behind and getting bad spots. And they're a good hitting team. Kudos to them. But, I mean, yeah, like I said, just super frustrating.
And last night's NBA playoff slate featured a dominant 140-89 Knicks win over the Hawks. The 51-point margin of victory is the widest in their playoff franchise history and earns them a trip to the next round where they'll meet the winner of Celtics versus Sixers. That series will be decided in Game 7 tomorrow following Philadelphia's 106-93 win on the shoulders of a 30-point performance from Tyrese Maxey last night. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, partly cloudy with highs in the mid-60s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
Ripping it with Ryan. Sponsored by Dubo Law. Real people, real results. For a free consultation, call 410-ASK-DUBO. Here's Bob Haney and Ryan Ripken.
We're ripping it with Ryan. Or hanging with Haney, whatever you prefer.
Yeah, I'd like to. Hanging with Haney just rolls off the tongue.
Or and nuzzling with Nolan. No.
Nolan?
Rolling with Nolan.
Rolling. Oh, rolling with Nolan. There we go.
That doesn't sound as good. What was the first one again? You said nuzzling with Nolan?
Is that even a word? Anyway.
I'm going to HR.
Yeah. Well, shut her down. Orioles are in New York taking on the Yankees. Coming up 4-game series after taking 2 out of 3 from the Astros. They did get their pants pulled down in Game 2 and spanked a little bit. Joining us now to talk about the first month plus of the Major League Baseball season, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw from CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's go get Mike Exesa. Mike, how you feeling on this Friday?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing all right. Appreciate the time as always. And looking at the American League, 15 teams in the league as we sit here on May the 1st. 10 of these teams have a negative run differential. Yankees, Rays are the only teams that are at least 5 games above 500. I mean, the A's are acceptable so far in the AL West. Why the mediocrity so far in this American League, as they say, the junior circuit?
Yeah, I think there's only 3 teams with a winning record, and you kind of look at the run differential, and I think the Yankees are like plus 47, plus 48, something like that, and the next best team is plus 9. It's like the Yankees are so far ahead of everyone else, and I don't know. I just think it's, there really is no great – well, part of it is that the Blue Jays are not really doing what they're supposed to do yet, and you remember last year, they were like 25-27, and from that point on, they were the best team. So it's too early to write them off. But the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, they're not, even the Orioles, they're not really what we expected so far. So that's kind of dragged it down. But you look at the West, you look at the Central, there are really not that many great teams. You can put the Mariners in that bucket where they're not, they've been better of late, but they're not really doing what we expected yet. So that's really all it is. I think you got a couple underperforming teams. The Blue Jays and the Mariners kind of stand out the most there, and that's kind of dragged down the rest of the league. You look at, I mean, the Central is just not, it's just not great. Like, you look at the Guardians, they're tied with the Tigers, and it's just like, I have a hard time believing in that offense and that team, and I feel like that applies to maybe like 10 of the teams in the American League right now. It's just, it's kind of a mediocre league throughout, really. I think you got a couple of teams that should be great and just a lot that just aren't.
It certainly is the case here, Mike. And, you know, to that point, stay in the American League. And we've been talking about this Orioles team, and they're one of the teams that have been inconsistent here. That has been the word. We're going to come up with a right. different word here, Mike, and maybe you can help us with that. But, you know, it could be a lot worse. And because of the state of the American League, they're right in the thick of it. But just wanted to hear your perspective on, you know, this Orioles team, because I feel a different phrase I can use is they're not completely stuck in the mud, but they can't get into gear, you know, and move forward. How would you assess the Orioles as we've seen them play 31 games?
Yeah, I think as long as you don't do what the Mets and the Phillies have done, where you've completely kind of bottomed out and put yourself in this big hole, I wouldn't stress too much about a mediocre April. It's just inconsistent is kind of a perfect word there, right? It's the starters have not been great for Baltimore, and Tyler Rogers is now on the Angel list. It's just an illness. It's not an arm problem, but he's still out. And it seems like nobody knows who's going to pitch in New York this week, and that's kind of a problem for them. And, you know, Pete Alonso hasn't really gotten hot yet. Taylor Ward's been really good, but Alonso, you're still kind of waiting for him to go on that hot streak where he gets like 10 home runs in 18 games or something like that. And Adley Rutschman's been so good. You know, that's probably like the most promising thing you've seen in April since he came back from the injury. He's been the player he was supposed to be that he wasn't the last 2 years. I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of spots where a lot of games where it's one.
Intercepted. Did we lose Mike? I think we did. Mike Exesa. So basically we're saying, you know, you've stressed. Don't overreact one way or another too much to what the Orioles have done so far, which, you know, a lot of it's been bad. Some of it's been encouraging. And he mentioned Adley Rutschman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy, you know, and I pointed this out yesterday. I mean, I actually brought up a good point, Ryan Ripken, that when Adley Rutschman's playing well, the Orioles are a really good team. When he stinks, the Orioles have stunk. Let's get Mike Exesa back on the phones. Mike, sorry about that. Modern technology, your friend and foe. But wrapping up with the Orioles sitting here, a game below 500, going up to the Bronx, and maybe a litmus test series here.
Yeah, that's true. It's I think it's that for more for the Orioles than it is the Yankees. But, you know, it's only been a month. And I think as long as you haven't completely buried yourself like the Mets and the Phillies did, you'll be okay from this point on. I think the Orioles are they got to get more guys going in the lineup, which is kind of like a cliche and kind of a vague thing to say, but you haven't seen Alonso get hot yet. And it's kind of just Adley Rutschman's been great. Gunnar Henderson's been Gunnar Henderson, but the bottom half of the lineup, I don't know how much more you want to rely on Jeremiah Jackson. You know, as good as he's been, I'm not sure that's going to continue over 162 games, and they're going to need Kyle Bradish to be better. They're going to need Shane Boss to be better. There's a lot of players who you're just kind of waiting for them to be as good as they could be. And, you know, when that happens, they'll be good. I'm not worried about the Orioles. I'm sure they would have liked a better start, certainly, but they're okay. They're holding their own, and there's just so much season left. It's such a long season. It's so forgiving, especially with 3 wild card spots. I wouldn't really stress out about anything yet.
It's better when you say that than I, Mike, and that's why. And also, I'm not looking at the wild card for this context, and I can't believe I'm about to say it, but for those that are wondering, with all the slow starts and the Orioles being a game under 500, they're a half game back of a wild card spot. Like, so context, you're exactly right, Mike. You got to stay in the thick of it. And you mentioned two teams that are, they're trying to just stay, I don't know, it feels like just staying in any type of picture, Major League Baseball picture, because they have fallen so far back. You mentioned the Mets and the Phillies, but different circumstance here, right? We saw the Red Sox fire their manager. You saw the Phillies then fire their manager. Now the Red Sox have not gotten going. The Phillies have, in the Donnie baseball era in Philly, they've won three in a row, still sit though, seven games under 500. But Mike, what's going to happen here with the Mets? Because they it feels like with the whole situation with Mendoza, overall, their team's just not performing, not hitting. But we do know that that's a lot of frustration and ownership and groups. The first person to go is the manager. So what do you think is going to happen here with the Mets over the next couple weeks?
It's like I feel like they have to do something with Mendoza. Either fire him or say he's our guy and stick with him, because I feel like they're kind of stringing him along here. I don't think that's helping anyone. I don't think that's good for the players. I don't think it's driving the fan base nuts. I don't think that's good for anyone. So I think they should just come out and do something with him. You know, don't do what you did with Willie Randolph all that year. You know, they're on the West Coast now. Don't fire him at 3 o'clock in the morning again. You know, if you're going to fire him, I mean, they should have done it yesterday. That would have been the time to do it before the road trip. But you look at the roster. Like, they had MJ Melendez hitting third yesterday. Tyrone Taylor, I think, was hitting sixth. Like, this is just not the way it's supposed to be. You know, I know they've got some injuries, but this is just not what they expected this season. And, you know, it's like one of those things where anything that is, you know, they had a one-run lead and they were lined up to have Brooks Raley, Luke Weaver, Devin Williams yesterday, and they blew it. Like, that's not on Mendoza. That's just the players didn't perform. And I don't think firing Mendoza is going to change anything, but you also kind of just have to do something to show that you're, like, awake and you acknowledge that this is not going well. I didn't see – this is, like, a worst-case scenario for the Mets and the Phillies too. But the Mets, I mean, you look at their lineup, half the lineup every day, you got, like, five guys in the lineup who are just not good hitters. And it's not that they're not good hitters. It's that you have a hard time seeing how they can be good hitters moving forward. You know, Marcus Semien, he's showing his age. And Carson Bench has looked overmatched. And I don't know how long they could wait around. I mean, they don't really have a choice. It's not like you go out and make a trade. There's no prospects to call up. It's, I don't know, they kind of made their bed with this team, and it's just playing out terribly. And I don't think firing Mendoza is going to fix it, but you also just got to do something at some point.
He's Mike Exesa, CBSSports.com, talking Major League Baseball. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Mike, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy your weekend, first weekend of May, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yep, sure thing. Have a good one, guys.
You guys, Mike Exesa, everybody. When we come back, we'll talk to Nolan and you. If you want to get in, 475-83-1057. Describe the Orioles in one word through the first month plus of the season. And who is the Orioles team MVP and least valuable player through the first month plus? And Adley Rutschman, looking like that guy who was 1-1 and now maybe hitting the ball better than he ever has. How about that? And looking like Johnny Bench behind the plate all of a sudden.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney. Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Can't blame Celtics fans if this all feels way too familiar. They played with their food one too many times, and now they got to host the Sixers for a Game 7 tomorrow, quite possibly without Jason Tatum. As much as they want to try and convince us that whatever happens this year is gravy after waiting for Tatum to return from his Achilles, it's obvious that with or without Tatum, blowing a 3-1 series lead to the Sixers would be a massive disappointment. I'm Chris Metz.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ripping It with Ryan on the Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Ripping It with Ryan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. American League East Report next hour. Randy Miller, New Jersey Advance Media, talk about the Yankees in first place right now in the AL East, hosting the Orioles. Started a four-game series coming up tonight at Yankee Stadium. Baltimore baseball tonight at 6. It's Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken. Is that correct?
I'm here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be not. I mean, I'll be with the other host of Baltimore baseball
tonight. So, full disclosure, I don't listen. I'm not trying to say that because you know I'm above it.
Wow, but, Nolan, do you hear this guy?
I keep it real.
I can't believe it, man.
I keep it real. I mean, it is what it is. But
wow,
I'm watching the game. But when they do his intro, Tim's, does it go the host of Baltimore baseball tonight, Tim Barbalace?
It does. Well, yeah, you could have left that one part out there, but you know you don't want to hear.
Why don't they just go?
I'm going down a rabbit hole. This is Bob how I'm viewing it. Yeah. It's so hard to listen when you miss me. Uh-huh. So and Nolan when we're doing it down. You know, I get it. It's very, I took that very sentimental, not the other way around. Yeah. But yes, it's still your guy's name. We're just, it's your show. We're along for the ride.
It makes me anticipate BBT at Pickles more if I'm not listening when they're on the road. How's that sound? Did I cover that up nicely?
Sure. Do you have a one-word answer for...
The Orioles? Yeah. Or what I'm saying? Liar! Nolan McGraw. Orioles, one word through 31 games. Describe them.
Aggravating.
In one word.
Aggravating.
Good word.
Has to be. I mean, look, we're going to get a lot of synonyms here, I'd imagine. Right. I already see a few on the text line.
I don't
even
know what that means.
I'll explain aggravation here, at least why that is appropriate to me, is that Larry spent all last year, most of last year, the entire offseason, talking about how you need to add this piece, that piece, this is what you need to finally get over the hump and be the team that we know you can be. And well, was it the perfect offseason? No. But they did address a lot of the things that they needed to the point where they entered spring training, I thought, all right, here we go. We certainly have enough in place to be better than we were last year. And that's all I was asking for as a fan. Just keep me entertained for an entire season, not just 1 month of bad baseball, and then we shut it down from there. But it's aggravating because, yeah, while they're not out of things like they were at this point last year, those pieces that were brought in are not doing anything close to what we thought they would do across the board. Sure, individually, some guy, Taylor Ward, has been better than advertised, but Pete Alonso in the same breath has been far below as advertised. Does it all balance out in the end? Remains to be seen. But for now, aggravation is the only sense that I have.
Ryan Ripken, what do you think?
I was just been looking up, you know, different words.
Other. It's hard, man. It's
because we've been shutting down inconsistent because that's the word. But
yeah, I mean, you know, one of the words that's running here. Unexceptional? Is that apparently that's a word.
Unexceptional?
Unexceptional. Well, I think the part for me, I was going to go meh.
It's like nuzzle, I believe.
Yeah. It's almost the exact. Oh, there it is in synonyms. There it is. But I was going to go meh or unexceptional. Really, it's a different word of saying, you know, confusing. You know, and not that I'm confused about that. That's why I went with meh or unexceptional, because at some moments, like on Friday night when you played the Red Sox, you go, that is exceptional. The next night is the unflattering moment there.
Sure.
First game of the doubleheader, complete game, exceptional. Then it's, ooh, man, that looked bad on a lot of different fronts. So, yeah, I think it's just... it could be a whole lot better, could be a whole lot worse, because they're the qualities of a team, it's there. They have the qualities of, you're not going to give in, you have star power that has underperformed, and you have a lot of things to clean up, but you're not having so much to clean up that you're out of it. It's, you're right there, but it's hard for us, everyone to go, yep, they're back, they're rolling. Because every time they have a chance to do that, they go back to that thing of, how good is this team actually going to be? It's like a rinse, cycle, repeat type of situation. Do we have your word?
Yes. I'm going to go kind of sort of along with Nolan's saying here. I'm going with annoying. They're annoying to watch at times.
Mm-hmm.
Because just when you think they're becoming that team,
yep,
whatever they might be. And I think this is going to be a playoff team when it's all said and done. I truly believe, Ryan, that they're a postseason worthy team. Are they the best team in baseball? No. But are they a team that can get to the expanded playoff field and be annoying to another team? Perhaps. And I said last June and July that the Orioles this year were going to be like the Blue Jays last year. You know what the Blue Jays record was through 31 games in 2025? 15-16. And as Mike Exisa pointed out, they went on a big heater after the mediocre start, had the best record in baseball for the better part of 4 months, were an out away from winning the World Series. I don't know if I'm ready to go to that level of expectation or predictions, but I still think in a field that's watered down in the American League, they might rise above the rest. They'll be better than mediocre, which nowadays could put you, they win 85 to 88 games. They're going to the postseason, I would think.
Well, with how this is playing out, and this is the barometer test when you look around the American League. And just like we're talking about the Orioles, a lot of other teams that are in a similar position are having very, similar conversations. Well, what if we get going? But let's look at the rosters here of teams that could get going. I'm with you, Bob, with the Orioles. Talent-wise, with what they possess and what they have, even with the fact if guys like Westberg or Holiday, whatever the timetable is, if, when they come back, Jackson, obviously it feels like that eventually, we just don't know. Westy is the one that's up in the air. You still feel the talent that they possess when you look at the rest of the American League. The Yankees, okay, for me, they're the best team in the AL, no doubt. Tampa, I love their style, but more talent. Who has more talent? I think the Orioles have more of that talent. The Rays are playing a better brand with what they have. Guardians, Tigers, they have flaws, they have strengths. And then in the AL West, what, the Mariners, Rangers, A's? The A's are leading that division. When I look at the A's and the Orioles, I like the Orioles team better. So that's my barometer here is, I'd even argue, and I didn't mention, I do believe the Blue Jays, if they stick around and they get healthy, they are going to be tough.
Sure.
The only thing for them is they need those guys because they have so many that are out. But if they get back into it, Toronto's sitting there going, yeah, we can make another run. So this is the importance of just staying in it. You stay in it, you can tread water until you are able to get ashore or things start rolling, then you don't look back.
Let's get out to the phones, hear what the people have to say, get a couple calls in real quick. Go to Eddie in Kansas City. Eddie, what's up?
How you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Listen, I don't have just one word, but I'll say for me, the clock's ticking. I mean, I was born in 1965, man. I grew up in an era when the Orioles were in it every year. I mean, every September, 73, 74, playing Oakland. They would all, got off some bad starts, but September they were there. And then 1979, well, forever still hurt. And then we won it in 83. Well, now I'm 61 years old. I mean, the clock is ticking for guys like me. I mean, I want to see them win another World Series. And that's like the Ravens have done it, then two Super Bowls. I never seen the Colts win the Super Bowl, and then they moved. Ravens have won two Super Bowls, but I was 18 when the Orioles won the last World Series. I just want to be able to, look, I'm not like 85 or anything, but 61. I want to win. I want to see them win the World Series.
And full disclosure, me and Eddie were watching together. Ed lives in Kansas City when he grew up. We were at Paluji's watching the last out when Maddox lined out to a guy that you might be somewhat familiar with, number 8 at shortstop.
Carl?
At the end of the 83 World Series. So, and I've told Nolan this, Ed, many times, and Ryan, because they're both like early 30s guys. I was 18. Same with me and Ed were born the same year. It's a long story, but we're in our 60s now. Nolan, the Orioles haven't even made the World Series in your guys' lifetime. They went to 6 in the first 18 years we walked the face of the planet. World Series is like something that you read about in the history books. For some,
remember, you busted in the kitchen saying Eddie Murray just hit one off the scoreboard, because we worked at a restaurant, so we had to work through all that stuff. So yeah, but that's my thing. Time's ticking for me.
All right, Ed.
See you guys later.
There's Ed in Kansas City. The clock is ticking for us old geezers here.
I get it. And Nolan, yes, you are 30, correct?
That's correct. Last I checked.
No, because I know I'm a hair older than you, a hair, but I got all giddy when saying still early 30s. I'm a little bit, be 33, so is that mid-30s at that
point?
No,
that's early.
Okay, great. Tomato, tomato. Yeah, it's been 43 years since the Orioles have won a World Series. It's been 43 years since the Orioles were in the World Series. So, Teddy's point. Yeah, this isn't just what Eddie and Bob, saying it's been a while. This is a community and city where the Ravens have brought home two championships in a 12-year period, right?
Yeah.
And overall, two world championships in the last 25 years. The Orioles, not even for that, they have had limited postseason moments. You want to go back to the mid-2000s or the mid-2010s, Buck Showalter and that group in game two against the Tigers, and Delmon Young, he's ready and he's always ready to rip. Bang! Hardy coming around third trying to score. Amazing. That was the moment. That's been the one true playoff moment in Baltimore really over the last 43 years. And that's no knock to 96 and 97, which I know the 97 felt like it could have been the year.
They were the best team in baseball.
They were. But that's what we're talking about. I think just fans, when you're saying the clock's ticking, this year is an opportunity. The American League is open. It's open for business. Just who's going to be the team that seizes it?
Come back, take your phone calls. American League East Report. Ryan Ripken had Dabo Swinney on, the head coach of the University of Clemson. He's still got a lot to say, and the Ravens have a connection with that school. Stick around. We'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the Yankees. Randy Miller, New Jersey Advanced Media. New York, everything's fine and dandy, and they're about to get their best pitcher back in Gerrit Cole.
Wherever the Orioles season takes you.
Say goodbye to this ball!
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.